We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, everybody, what is going on? It's Wednesday. Happy holidays, yada, yada, yada. We got football coming up. I'm Eric Crane, joined by Rich Rebar and Evan Silman. We're here for the DFS Pick 6, Roto-World's DFS Pick 6, presented by Roto Grinders. Rich, we missed you this weekend, buddy.
I know. I missed you guys. I'm super jealous that you guys got the bond in person. But happy Thanksgiving, guys. You know, it's a fun week here of football. You know, we get that special game slate. You get to watch football all day with your family. You know, drink a lot of bourbon. You know, mix in some coquito. It's a good Thursday coming up.
Yeah, and of course, Evan, are you going to be partaking in any of the bourbon drinking?
No, I got to sign off for bourbon drinking for at least a little while after the weekend. So get my voice back, but it was a great time. It was great to meet you in real life, Crane. And, we were talking about like some of your past wins. Obviously, you know, you won the Millie Maker, but you were telling me how your first big win ever, I think, was on Thanksgiving.
Yep.
Right. Yeah, so
about 2 years ago, it was, I think, a big Theo Riddick day. I remember I locked in Stafford and Calvin Johnson, and then Theo Riddick caught a big play, had a couple big plays in that one. So yeah, it's like I love the short slates. I love the Thanksgiving slates. It's some of the softest DFS we get anymore, because you know there are a lot of, especially this late in the year, there are a lot of really good players out there, but boy, they just come out of the woodwork on Thanksgiving, man. It's a beautiful thing. Reeves, are you going to put in a lot of volume this tomorrow?
I am, man. I'm excited because I wanted to talk to you about, you know, we don't do, this is more of like an analysis show. We do, me and Evan are more like professional, you know, analysts here, and you're more of like the big time pro player. So I would like to talk to you a little bit about, you know, it's, you know, people that are interested in setting, you know, max entering, you know, lineups on short slates like this, because I think what a lot of people try to do that get into multi-entry and try it out on a weekend like this is they try to spread themselves out and try to cover so many different angles, you know, try to say, I'm going to try to maximize having a little piece of everyone. But really when the key is to, you know, pick out the plays, you know, and go over on those specific guys, you know, not try to just chase, you know, having a piece of random dude at wide receiver 4 that catches, you know, one pass for maybe a touchdown, you know, because he's going to be paired with so many suboptimal plays that don't hit. So I mean, why don't you lay out, because you've been max entering, you know, lineups for a long time, a few years here, you know, setting 150 plus lineups. Why don't you just run through it real fast for everyone?
Yeah, I mean, like, the main thing you want to do is exactly what you said, like the opposite of what you said. You know, people like to say, well, if I do 150 on a 3-game slate, I can cover everything. And it's just like, that's such a wrong way to go about it, because what you want to do, you want to get a very narrow player pool, and then from there you want to build around that. Like, I will probably, in all honesty, I'm probably only going to play one quarterback tomorrow. I'm going to play one quarterback and lock him up. Probably if it's a guy I really like. Like, if I just, let's say I just, I don't know who I'm going yet. Let's say I decide to go Rivers, and I'm probably going to lock in Keenan Allen too. Then I'm, you know, I'm probably hoping for a Chargers onslaught. And since Melvin Gordon's really the only elite running back on this whole slate, I'm probably going 90% Melvin Gordon there too. And then I'm just going to, you know, find some other guys I like. Let's say like Golden Tate, I'm really high on this weekend. So then I'm going to go 80-90% Golden Tate. And I'm just going to rotate around that particular core. Then you throw a couple high upside guys in there, a guy like a Kenny Galladay, or I even think Cole Beasley's got some upside tomorrow. You know, guys like that, and you kind of want to rotate those guys in and out, because if you try and cover all the bases, like, you're just drawing dead. You have absolutely no shot to succeed, because, you know, everybody says, well, 150 lineups, how many combinations there can be? Well, guess what, guys? There are 88,000 people in this tournament tomorrow. And when I won it, like, I didn't chop it with anybody, not a single person that I chop it with. Like, that's what you want to do. You know, there are some other ways you can go about doing it to make sure you're not chopping, make sure you leave few hundred bucks on the table on every lineup. I don't think that's necessary, just because if you're creating a really tight core and that core ends up going off and it ends up being the right core, then you're going to have the nuts more times than not. And that's kind of what you're shooting for.
Yeah. Our big guy that we really liked last year, and I pretty much went all in on him. And I mean, I had a good Thanksgiving, but I think some of us had a really good Thanksgiving. Was Anquan Boldin. And we need to try to find this year's Anquan Boldin.
All right, well, let's go ahead and do it then. Let's go ahead and jump into this slate, because it's I'm not sure where I'm going. And usually by this time, Thanksgiving Eve, you know, it's 9:15 here in Southern Illinois. And usually I know where I'm going, and I'm not exactly sure yet. So
it's a weird set of games, man. You know, I think about this set of games, and I think about what we had last year. And last year we had so many premier plays, like if those games were in the main slate of games. Like, we had Zeke, you know, last year. We had that Redskins-Cowboys game. We had the Steelers playing the Colts on that Sunday night against Scott Tolzien, or that Thursday night game. Like, we had a lot of players that if they were in the main player pool, we would have been drawn to those picks. And I feel like if you throw these games into the main slate, like, there probably like wouldn't be like a lot of dudes that would stick out, like, that we would want to play, you know, outside of like Kirk Cousins and Melvin Gordon. So I'm like really curious to see how this slate plays out.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. And like you said, I mean, you know, I know I mentioned that I'm probably just going to play one quarterback tomorrow, and I kind of look at this slate and I'm like, okay, normally I like to lock in a quarterback and then I like to lock in a wide receiver with that quarterback. Evan, if I look at this three-game slate, it's really tough to find like one quarterback who says, okay, this is my one receiver who I'm going to lock in on, except for maybe Dak and Dez, and Dez has got a tough matchup on the outside.
Yeah, and you mentioned Rivers and Keenan Allen, and I think that I'm kind of thinking that Rivers might be one of the lower owned out of the six quarterbacks, because I think that a lot of people are going to play Melvin Gordon because he's like clearly maybe head and shoulders above everyone else at running back. And they're going to think that, well, you know, it's maybe not optimal to play the quarterback too. You know, I want Melvin Gordon to have a big game. But I think that in terms of just matchup, environment, you know, playing indoors in the highest total game on the slate, you know, against a Cowboys defense that hasn't been great against the pass, and it will be without Sean Lee, I think that Phillip Rivers is a really, really enticing play, and he's significantly cheaper, particularly on FanDuel, than Kirk Cousins. I mean, I think that Kirk Cousins is the best play. That doesn't mean that he's going to end up being in the winning lineup. Doesn't mean that he's going to end up being the best value, but I think that he's very much the best play. You can also make arguments against Kirk Cousins, one of them being the fact that he is without Chris Thompson, who we haven't seen him in a full game this year so far, where he has not had Chris Thompson. And I mean, Chris Thompson, I think, leads the team in receiving yards on the season, or at least he did as of a couple of weeks ago. So I haven't like checked the team, you know, the team stats, you know, from that standpoint. Like, right. So, yeah, I think that you can make some arguments against him. I think he's going to be my highest guy, and I'm probably going to try to jam him in cash. But I like Phillip Rivers a lot, and you play him with Keenan Allen. I think that you play Stafford with Golden Tate. I think you can play Rivers with Gordon as well. Gordon, since the Chargers bye, is second on the team in targets behind only Keenan Allen. And then, you know, Case Keenum, you can get cute and play him with, you know, a bunch of his different pass catchers.
You know, one of the things you mentioned too, people say, well, I don't want to play Rivers because I'm going to play Melvin Gordon. This isn't a normal slate. It's not like we're sitting here looking at saying, okay, well, these guys all have to go off. I need 20 or 30 from each guy. It's on short slates. It's less about value and it's more about the raw points. So if you think Melvin Gordon's going to be one of the highest raw point running backs, and that's even if Philip Rivers goes off, then you're going to need him to win. If Melvin Gordon is one of the highest scoring running backs, you will need him to win tomorrow. So, Philip Rivers, as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't even matter that much. Like, if you have Rivers, you just play Gordon because you're needing to win those positions. All right, let's go ahead and look at Minnesota and Detroit. Let's start with the Lions side, Rich, because Evan mentioned, you know, if you're going to play Stafford, you're playing him with Tate. And I agree. I feel like Marvin Jones and Golden Tate are going to have similar ownership. But, Reeves, for me, it's Golden Tate, and I'm not even sure it's close.
Yeah, I think he'll be the guy everyone looks at. I mean, given Xavier Rhodes and what he's done against Marvin Jones the last, you know, three times that since they played, since Marvin Jones has been a Lion, he's had just 7 catches for 101 total yards in those 3 games total, 7 catches. So I mean, Rhodes has only played 4 snaps in the slot against the Lions over the past 5 times they played. So I mean, Tate's gonna have the best individual matchup. The thing is, when you look at these two teams and they played, like, they've got a pretty long running history of just playing like snooze fests. Since Mike Zimmer has been there, they've gone over 40 combined points just twice, the two of those 7 games, a high of 47. Stafford just hasn't gotten off on Zimmer. I mean, he's been higher than QB16 just once. Anytime they've played, it's just, they're just having a lot of points in these games. Not any of the games that both teams scored over 20 points. So, I mean, this is a really unique game. So I think we could talk ourselves into a lot of the Minnesota pieces when we get to that side. I'm probably going to full fade the Lions. I think that's my game plan, except for I'm going to rotate some Tate in, because when you look at the wide receivers on this slate, there really are no like guys that you can really make a convincing case for, like, this guy could have really multiple touchdowns. There aren't many of those guys. So when we're looking at spike week options, Golden Tate's one of those guys. I mean, you know, a lot of people think of him as like a safe floor commodity, like Jarvis Landry, because he is a yak guy and he gets like 90 receptions a year. He's on his way to his 4th straight 90 reception season. But Golden Tate is like a traditional spike player. He has a lot of those games that he had last weekend, but he has these games where he has 20 plus points. He's always been that type of player. So, I mean, we're talking about guys in the slate that have 20 point upside. He's one of those guys. So, I mean, he's really the only guy I'm looking at on this side. I mean, you look at the Vikings, man, they've allowed just 5 touchdown passes over their past 7 games, just 3 to wide receivers over that span. It's like, I have a hard time. I know this game's in Detroit and they can play with some tempo, but I have a hard time like coercing myself into like a lot of the Lions plays. I mean, I know you had mentioned Galladay as an upside guy. I mean, he still ran fewer routes than TJ Jones last week. I mean, he's that splash play guy, but like, he's not, you're paying for that too. He's not super cheap. I mean, he's 58 on FanDuel. What is he on DK? You know, off the top of your head?
38 on.
Hey, that's way more palatable. Yeah, that's way more palatable. So, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I'd like to hear your guys' side though, but I think I'm going in just with a borderline full fade on the Lions. And if I'm wrong, I'll play the late 2 games.
Jones, like, just like a poor man's Ryan Grant. I don't want anything to do with TJ Jones. Evan, when we talk about Golden Tate, the first matchup, I rewatched the game they played in week 4 earlier today, and Golden Tate was pretty invisible. They didn't target him that much. Mm-hmm. Aaron Fells saw as many targets as Golden Tate did. They really tried to feature Amir Abdullah. So, like, are you afraid that that's going to happen again in this matchup?
I'm not, because I think that the matchup is still good. You know, I would have played him in that spot anyways, you know, regardless of that result. And since then, the Vikings have really started to work in a player named Mackenzie Alexander into slot corner. They did this with Terrence Newman and Trey Waynes last year. And I think that when Mackenzie Alexander is in the game, I think that Stafford is going to go after this guy, and Golden Tate will be against him. Golden Tate plays 80% of his snaps in the slot. They're just trying to work in a younger player. Trey Waynes has actually been pretty good recently. Early in the year, He was terrible. He was a guy that we could pick on every week, and we stopped picking on him because he wasn't giving up a lot of big plays anymore. I mean, he's still giving up a lot of yards over the course of the season, but I don't. He's not like a guy that we can, you know, chalk. He's not a. He's not a Justin Bethel. You know, he's not a Bleedy Ray Wilson. He's, you know, he's been solid. I think that we go after the Vikings in the slot. I know it didn't work out in one game. That's a one game sample. I think that we're going to go. We need to go after it in this game. And I'm kind of with Reeves that, I mean, I don't. I'm going to end up playing a decent number of Lions players, you know, just to make lineup for lineup construction purposes. But I'm really not excited to play any Lions players on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. By the way, if you want to look at Mackenzie Alexander, you should take a look at his tackling stats. He's one of the absolute worst tackling cornerbacks in all of football. And I don't know about going against a Yak guy. Yeah, that might be trouble against a guy like Golden Tate. So
yeah, Golden Tate's been one of the best run after catch receivers in the league for like a half decade.
Yeah. So going to the Minnesota side, and Reeves, I know you kind of mentioned that like there are a number of guys here that we should be interested in. I'm kind of running into the other issue, though. Like, you guys are talking about the Lions. It's tough for me to get excited about either of these Minnesota wide receivers.
Are you talking to me or Ev?
Yeah, you.
Oh, me. Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people are going to look at Thielen. And, you know, he's on a hot streak. And, you know, he was a guy that was due for touchdown, you know, progression, positive touchdown regression. And he's gotten it. You know, he scored in three straight games. Do you guys know the last Vikings receiver to score in four straight games?
Mossman, Chris Carter, Josh Reed,
Percy Harvin in 2011.
Percy Harvin.
You know, it's fitting we bring up Percy Harvin because we have another player dealing with migraines, you know, that we'll talk about later. But yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people want to play Thielen. He's the most expensive guy on both sites. You know, Thielen is that guy that has shown he's got the safest floor almost of all receivers in the NFL. And now he's added this, you know, spike weeks. But, you know, counting on those touchdowns every week is tough, and you're paying for him. I think Diggs is the play on the slate. You know, a lot of people aren't going to play him because of Darius Slay, but he's had success against the Lions because he can get away from Slay. I mean, he runs a quarter of his routes from the slot as well. They play both these guys in the slot. Thielen's just there more often. Diggs has actually had three top 20 weeks against the Lions. And he had 5 for 98 the first time these two teams met. He doesn't do a lot of damage on Slay, but like I said, he gets away from him. It's not being a situation where Slay is always on him. Slay's going to be on both these guys at different points of the game. So, I mean, he's going to have a shot to make plays. I feel like he'll be the lowest owned. And obviously we know he's capable of having spike production as well. I'll probably try to be over on Diggs. I think the backs, man, I'm looking at this backfield though. I think you can play both of these backs. I'm really having a tough time, you know, deciding who to play because both these guys are getting a lot of touches. McKinnon, even though Latavius has like cut into his goal line work and is taking touches, I mean, McKinnon's got 17 or more touches now in five of his past six games, low of just 12. That's plenty of volume for the type of player he is, and Detroit is 24th, you know, in receiving points allowed to running backs. And now Detroit also, since they lost Haloti Ngata, has just been hemorrhaging, you know, rushing production. They've allowed 200 rushing yards in back-to-back games now. They have faced the most rushing attempts from inside the 5-yard line in the NFL. They have allowed multiple rushing touchdowns over their past three games. So, I mean, that bodes well for a guy like Latavius Murray as well. So, I mean, I'm having a tough time deciding. I think Latavius is a lot better, more enticing on a site like FanDuel, obviously. But, I mean, I think I look at this backfield, and I think that that's the play in the game, is that these guys are going to do well. Because the Vikings offensive line is playing really well as well. So, I mean, I think that I want to hone in on those two guys. I think you can play them together as well, especially on a site like DraftKings where you're getting the PPR.
Did we lose Reeves?
Did you?
I Evan, can you hear Reeves at all?
I heard everything you said, Crane.
Did you really? Oh, so it's safe. Me?
I'm safe.
Oh, it's me. No, anything but that. Oh, I'm all plugged in and everything. All right. Reeves can.
It wasn't important.
Okay, well, as long as it was nothing important, then we're okay. Oh, so fired over here. Yeah, but, you know, you were mentioning the two running backs, and, like, I mean, Isaiah Crowell just torched this Lions team. I mean, when Isaiah Crowell is getting off against you, like – I mean, I don't know about you, Evan, but I really like Murray and McKinnon this week.
Yeah, the Lions' run defense has really fallen apart over their last two games. I remember, you know, wanting to be all in on Le'Veon in that Sunday night game against the Lions, and they stymied him. You know, and I was like, wow, is this they're going to be all right. But over their last two, I mean, Jordan Howard stomped them, and the Browns RB stomped them.
So, it was a combo. It was a combo. Duke and Cohen and Howard.
Yeah. So, you know, we're getting to the point where they're a matchup to attack. I have biases against like certain players, and I sort of have one against Latavius Murray. So I'm not going to play him. I think I'm going to shed my bias against Melvin Gordon this week, which I know will backfire. I know that will backfire. But I really like Jerick McKinnon. I mean, Jerick McKinnon, even last week, more touches than Latavius Murray, way more snaps than Latavius Murray. And the Lions have given up the fifth most receptions and the ninth most receiving yards to opposing running backs. I really like the Matt, and he's cheaper than Latavius on FanDuel, obviously, because he has a little bit lower touchdown probability. I mean, Latavius is to the point where he's seventh in the NFL in carries inside the five. When they get in scoring position, he's getting the rock. But I like that McKinnon is cheaper on FD. And I like that he's getting more touches, and he has that bigger play, bigger playability.
McKinnon is, or not McKinnon, Latavius is going to crush this week.
I know.
That's my big leverage call this week. I think Latavius is going to crush. Rich, what do you think about Kyle Rudolph this week? Because, you know, Detroit Lions against tight ends, I have some interest, but I just like other tight ends more, and obviously we'll get the big burn later.
Yeah, I think the problem that Rudolph runs into is that the late game, the two guys are just head and shoulders way better plays. I mean, Rudolph just hasn't had the ceiling that he had a year ago. He's got five or more catches now in six straight games. You got a nice little safety net there if you want to use him. But I mean, the yardage just hasn't been there, and the touchdowns haven't really come either. So I mean, it's tough. The matchup's good enough. Like I said, I mean, Detroit, I mean, 9.6 yards per target to opposing tight ends. It's the most in the league. Definitely take a shot. I mean, we always talk about attacking this Detroit Lions, you know, defense, you know, through the linebacker play with running backs and tight ends. So, I mean, you can take a shot. The problem, I think, is just he runs into the player pool. He's just not as good as a play as the two guys that are going at night.
But he's significantly cheaper than them. And, I mean, I think the matchup is really good.
But what do you need to save money for, though, here? Like, this is the only – that's the other dilemma.
So you can jam in Melvin Gordon for the first
time. Melvin Gordon, man.
Are you having trouble fitting Melvin Gordon in?
I mean, if you want to play Kirk Cousins and Melvin Gordon and, you know, maybe Thielen and, you know, Keenan Allen, I mean, you're going to have to save somewhere, right?
Oh, yeah. Does it really have to be with Kyle Rudolph, though? I can say with Kenny Golladay.
Yo, Kyle Rudolph has a good matchup, and he's got seven-plus targets in six straight games. So,
yeah, five or more grabs in all of them.
Yeah. And you can go double tight end this week on DraftKings.
Absolutely.
Like that, I have no problem with that whatsoever, especially with Rudolph's price, which is really, really cheap. All right, let's talk about the Chargers.
Do you guys want to talk about Keenum? Is anyone playing Keenum?
No.
Okay. You know, it's another situation where like his pass catchers. I bet he won't be.
I think he's going to be the third highest quarterback owned.
It's another situation where I think his pass catchers are in good spots, and like I've done this before, like where I didn't want to play Case Keenum, but I knew that like all his pass catchers were in pretty good spots, and just kicking myself the next day, like I should have liked him more. You know, so I don't know. I don't really know if I'm going to end up playing him, but I can totally, like, you know, sense the forthcoming regret.
I mean, I
just wanted to cover it.
He's priced so cheap at 5,300 over on DK. And I just like the running game more than I do the passing game.
I do. I think it's going to go Cousins, Rivers, Keenum in ownership because he's the cheap guy.
Is Dak just going to be completely ignored?
I don't know. We'll get to that game next, but I wanted to hear it because Keenum's been hot as well. So, I mean, a lot of people are, you know, Keenum is hot. He's on TV shows. People are telling you to stream him. You know, he's hot. But, I mean, I think when you look at this matchup, Detroit's kind of interesting, man. I think it has trap potential, not only from the angle that I talk about when these two teams play, they don't score points. But, I mean, if you look at Detroit, they're definitely not a good defense, but they've only allowed three QB1s. And when you look at the past three games, they've given up a lot of quarterback points, but it's all rushing production. I mean, Trubisky got him for they've given up 45% of their points allowed to quarterbacks the past 3 weeks have been on the ground. Trubisky got him for 50. Kizer got him for 60 and a 57 and a score. And then Hundley got him for 22 and a score. So it kind of skews the overall numbers. Those guys didn't really throw for anything. And I know that, you know, Keenum's got way better weaponry than those guys had to float the difference. But, you know, it's kind of just an interesting thing. I think he's going to be – I think a lot of people are going to play him, though.
Sweet. Is he?
Maybe I'm just wrong. Maybe just everyone goes 90%. It's just 90% cousins.
The way you can play him when, like, it's going to be awfully tough to win on a three-game slate if you don't have the highest-scoring quarterback. And, like, the chance of him being the highest-scoring quarterback, I think, are – like, I think they're under 10%. I think they're really, really small.
I think Stafford will have more ownership than you expect, Reese.
I think Stafford, honestly, is
really
a lot of ownership. Yeah.
Just from Thanksgiving's past?
No, I mean, I think people are going to – like, a lot of people are going to play Tate. And I think that, Stafford has been really good in fantasy lately. So, I think that people will like that.
Yeah, I think Stafford is going to be one of the – I kind of think he's going to be the second highest owned quarterback.
So do I.
Right behind.
I'm going to have zero Matt Stafford. I know.
Oh, me too. I want nothing to do with Matt Stafford. Like, if I'm playing on FanDuel, I'll just play Golden Tate and Matt Prater together. Like,
he keeps delivering in these bad matchups.
You what?
Last week was a bad one.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't think any of the other ones were that bad. He's had a pretty nice run here of soft spots. I mean, I know people want to point to the Steelers, you know, I want to bring up the Saints defense later on too. But I mean, you have to look at SOS works both ways. And I think the Steelers are a good defense, but I mean, the Steelers have not really, you know, faced
anyone at quarterback. Yeah, that's true.
The Saints are a similar team too. I know that they've been buzzworthy.
I mean, no one's really faced good quarterbacks though. I mean, because there aren't that many good quarterbacks chilling, you know.
Okay, I just pulled up the RotoGrinders projected ownership. Do you guys want to hear it?
Oh, yeah, run it down.
All right, well, let's run it on let's go DraftKings first, okay? Cousins is going to be the highest owned, 35%. Right after that is Rivers. So, once again, Lord Reeves, you are the Lord. Congratulations. And he's at 30%. Nobody else over 12.5%. Wow. Stafford, 12.5%. Keenum, 10. Dak, 7.5. Eli, 5. So, and it was basically the same thing over on FanDuel. And I'm really surprised that Stafford's not going to be higher. I actually think Stafford will be higher than 12%. Like, people just love playing. And you know what? Another thing, people love playing that first game. People love getting those points on the board. Like, they just, people are going to play Golden Tate. I mean, I'm telling you, like, trust me, Reeves.
I believe you.
I don't like playing that first game for that precise reason, because then you get all those points on the board. You know, your winning is just the rest of the day. That's when you start drinking the bourbon. You know,
you're just screaming punts and field goals. Trust me, I know that. Right, yeah. All right, let's talk about the next game, because looking at this projected ownership, I think I might have just found my favorite quarterback, and it's the Chargers and the Cowboys. Dak Prescott at home, Evan, he's not going to be owned. And I don't know who else in this offense is going to do anything. Like, this is a pick 'em game. Dak at home. They're getting Tyron Smith back, the left tackle. Like, what am I missing here with Dak?
He's a very risky play at this point. I mean, he has a bad matchup, you know. I mean, look, there's six quarterbacks on the slate, you know, so – and he has the most rushing equity of all of them. So he certainly has some appeal, but his matchup isn't good. He hasn't been good lately. That adds up to he's going to have very low ownership. He's also expensive. I mean, is he more expensive than Kirk Cousins on FanDuel, Reeves? I think he is.
Dak?
Yeah.
I'll tell you in a second here.
DraftKings, he's $400 cheaper than Cousins.
Okay. He's 76. Cousins is 88.
Okay.
I'm sorry. You meant Dak, right?
Dak Prescott.
Dak's the highest on FanDuel.
He's the highest owned guy on FanDuel.
He's higher than Cousins.
So
he's going to be low owned, man. Hold on.
I get a home quarterback getting his left tackle back in the game with the highest total on the slate, and he has the most rushing equity, and he's not going to be owned. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah.
Yeah. God, I love Thanksgiving. now I know what I'm going to be thankful for, because to me, like, Reeves, all of that adds up to Dak being a really great tournament play. And I understand from a cash game standpoint, like, the matchup's not good. Like, those outside cornerbacks are really good. And this is kind of why I mentioned earlier, I have to mention Cole Beasley in this spot, which, I don't know, what do you think? About 150 Dak to Beasley teams? That sound good to you guys?
Oh, my goodness gracious, man. You know, Cole Beasley hasn't hit 50 yards since guess when?
I don't know, but he scored 2 touchdowns.
Last Thanksgiving.
Yes!
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Oh no, it's all lined up.
Much like all of us tomorrow, he's gonna eat.
One of the issues with Dak is that there really are no matchup advantages for him. We're gonna see Casey Hayward on Dez, who, I mean, Dez is disappointed. I expected more out of Dez. You know, I was a big Dez guy before the season. You know, even you know, in the midst of those 3 brutal matchups and to begin the year, and he has not delivered. I expected a lot more from him. Terrence Williams is, you know, Captain Jag. Cole Beasley has done nothing all year except for these fluky games where he suddenly scores 2 touchdowns, where it's like, how the heck did that happen?
Well, I started him in season long that week, but
oh, wow. Okay. The Chargers have shut down tight ends. I mean, Travis Kelce had 1 catch for 1 yard against him. Evan Ingram went goose egg. They held Gronk to 57 yards. You know, so there's no matchup advantages here. The Chargers don't really give up rushing yards to quarterbacks. They play zone. They're a cover 3 team, although they use their cornerback sometimes like a man coverage team.
But besides all that.
Besides all that. No, I mean, you nailed a lot of good reasons. I mean, I think you play him naked then. I think you play him naked and you hope for like 2 rushing TDs. He leads all NFL quarterbacks in rushing touchdowns on the season.
Yeah, and you know, we've talked before about like Casey Hayward shadowing. He's only shadowed, 4 times this year, not since week 7. So I don't necessarily think he's going to be shadowing Dez in this matchup. Reeves, what do you think about this Dallas offense as a whole?
I want to hear Evan's take because I have trouble with this game. I'm having a lot of trouble with this game. I've got trouble with the spread. I've got trouble with the implied totals. Nothing makes a lot of sense to me, man. Well, because – listen, Tyron Smith is a really important player for the Cowboys. We know that. But I just don't think that the Cowboys' problems are singular on any level. I think that they are a bad defense. They're going to be missing Sean Lee. Tyron Smith comes back, helps, but it's still a really good pass rush. We're getting a not 100% Tyron Smith either against one of the best pass rushers in the NFL. We've got Dak who has no matchup advantages, like Evan said. And we've also got Dak playing his worst string of football we've seen him play. That the left tackle was not the problem on Sunday night. The running game was not the problem on Sunday night. Dak was awful in that game on Sunday night. He played some of the worst football he's ever played, maybe the worst game of his career. And you know, maybe that's just, it's surmounting that he's got to put so much on his shoulders. Maybe, I don't know, but he hasn't played well. And now we're going to ask him to pop against a team that's allowed multiple touchdown passes 3 times all year. It's like Evan said, that's a risky bet. I mean, for him to turn it around, because I just don't think that this Cowboys team is one. I just don't think it's very good right now. I just don't think they're a very good football team. I think they've got a lot of personnel groupings. When you look at each unit of this team, there's not a lot to like on this about the Cowboys roster. And it's just very curious to me. I have a hard time with the, like, similar to the Lions, like really finding a way, but you know, there's outside of the Lions, Every other signal is saying to be invested here. Like, it's hard. I'm having a hard – my analyst side is having a hard time catching up to my game theory side because they're pulling in opposite directions right now.
No, and I get it from a matchup standpoint. I haven't been playing quarterbacks or receivers against Los Angeles, the Chargers.
I want to play Alf, though.
Oh, we'll get to Alf. But, Evan, talk to me about, like, this Dallas offense. How do you see them getting points on the board?
Like I said, I just ran through their entire pass catcher core and, yeah. You know, I,
oh, is it the running game?
I love Dak Prescott. So, mm-hmm. You know, too. I mean, I really wanted to be able to like talk myself into Dak Prescott. And I really have struggled to do so, especially when he's the highest priced dude on FanDuel. The best matchup play is obviously Alfred Morris. The Chiefs or the Chargers have been gashed in run defense all year long, 27th in run defense DVOA, giving up 4.9 yards per carry to opposing running backs. They gave 8.2 yards per carry to Bills running backs last week. You know, but there are also like significant negatives. Like if the Cowboys fall behind, Alfred Morris ain't going to be on the field. You know, Rod Smith will. He hasn't even been getting touches, like even when he's on the field a ton. So it's just it really does feel like a dysfunctional offense right now. Reeves is always really good at diagnosing offenses. So it's not just a season, you know, there are seasons within the season. And one of Reeves' greatest skills is like diagnosing the seasons within the season. And that's why, you know, he's one of the best in the business. And so I think that he might be on to something here.
I guess I just keep going back to, I want to be ahead of the curve with these situations. I don't want to say, well, Dak he's struggled, you know, obviously just a ton last week. I know he put up negative points over on FanDuel. But I mean, the weeks before that, 15 and 26 points against Kansas City and Atlanta. And I understand both those defenses are a lot worse than what the Chargers are, at least from a passing perspective. But yeah, basically, guys, here's what we've said.
If he runs for two,
you're winning.
You're winning.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and that's a distinct I mean, it's a small probability, but it's, you know, he's got the best chance of that by far of any quarterback on the slate.
It feels maybe I'm stretching here. It feels kind of like a Russ Wilson situation where you don't really know where he's going to go with the ball. Like the outside receivers, maybe not great. You know, obviously there's no Doug Baldwin or Jimmy Graham here, but Reeves, it's like with Russ, like he just has to do everything. I feel like that's what we're looking at with Dak on this slate. Nobody's going to play him.
Here's the difference though, is the Seahawks have an absolute like shutdown run defense and the Cowboys don't have that. The Cowboys have just gotten bled out the last two games. I mean, that game was close. Like Dallas did all they could in the first half of that game last week, and they held, you know, Philadelphia to field goals. They had a couple nice drives to start the game, but they ended up settling for field goals, which ended up haunting them. But eventually that defense just could not get enough stops, and especially on the ground. And that's what I worry. You look at the past two games, they got bled out, and the Chargers don't have a great offensive line. But I think when you look at how they're playing with and without Sean Lee against the run, I just don't know how they put, you know, Dak in the situation where he can just go jailbreak for all these short drives like Russ can. He hasn't really shown that. We had that one game against the Packers in the playoffs, but we haven't had a lot of those games where he's forced to, you know, do that. Like Russ has, you know, captain fourth quarter, you know, put all these points up in the fourth quarter. I mean, since with Sean Lee out or in the game, he played 10 snaps, they've allowed 5.5 yards per carry, 4 touchdowns to running backs in just those 4 games. In the other 6 games, they've only allowed 2 rushing touchdowns total and 3.8 yards per carry. I just don't see how they, you know, get enough stops in the run game. And maybe it is. Maybe it's just a thing where the Chargers, we get a game like Melvin Gordon, because Melvin Gordon, like Evan and I said, he is a more quantity over quality type of runner. And maybe we have one of those games where it's just really inefficient and it keeps, you know, Dallas into that neutral script. But yeah, it's hard for me. It's hard for me to really get on board to where I can like draw a parallel to him and Russell Wilson, because, you know, Dak hasn't really like done that yet.
We need to talk about more guys.
I don't know why we're half an hour into the show. We're a game and a half in. You know why? let's talk about the Chargers. obviously we like Melvin Gordon, and you know I think we all like Keenan Allen. Evan, where are you focusing in on this Chargers offense?
I mean, in the spots that you just named, I'm gonna try to go a little overweight, I think, on Hunter Henry. I just think he's a good player, and he actually ran his routes run were way up last week, and no Sean Lee for the Cowboys. So, and his price is great. So, I mean, yeah, he's tournament only, you know. I mean, I'm not using him in cash, trust me, but I think he's a solid play on Thanksgiving. Keenan Allen, people have been talking about Mike Williams. I've listened to a bunch of podcasts, just Thanksgiving only podcasts.
People seems to happen.
Yeah, he's like the new Josh Doctson, who, by the way, is going to happen on Thursday night. What do you think about that, Reeves? Do you think Josh Doctson is going to happen?
I'm back and forth on it. Okay. We'll wait till we get there. I need I want to hear the take though, because yeah, I can see both sides of that one. Like, it's hard for me.
I mean, you know, the worst is like, so Tyrell Williams and Mike Williams really aren't good plays, but if one of them like scores a touchdown and gets 60 yards, you know, he's like the stones. So,
you know what's going to end up happening, by the way? It's the same thing that used to happen with the – or that not used to, but still happens with the Cardinals, where you're going to see you're going to see Williams catch a touchdown, and you're going to celebrate, and it's going to be the wrong Williams. It's like Sean and Jerome Brown. It's going to be the same thing.
They're both like 6'4" dudes too, you know, so. Oh,
God.
We're not easy to decipher.
Yeah, we're so screwed.
But Mike Williams had 8 targets last week, and he had only a 2 in the first half. Like, I'm not ready to start chasing that rainbow yet.
Oh, Kellen Clemens loves him. I mean, if Kellen Clemens comes in this game, like –
If Kellen Clemens comes in this game.
If Kellen Clemens – there are going to be about 30% of the people who played who are going to be really –
Listen, if Kellen Clemens come in this game, those deck chairs did not go well.
That or they went really
– Or they went really wild. Yeah.
But I mean, Tyrell still 32 routes, man. 32 routes last week for Tyrell. He's been pretty awful. It's really hard to, like, outside of that, like, say anything. He's out there. He's running around.
What about are we willing to roll the dice on one Mr. Austin Eckler?
No, it was the same reason of we talked about with Mike Williams. I mean, all his touches came in the fourth quarter last week. He fumbled to cost them the game the week before and, you know, got punished for it. And I don't know. It's just a gamble.
You play Riddick. You don't play Eckler.
Oh, I don't want to play Riddick. I want to play Eckler. Eckler's the new Riddick. He's the new Theo Riddick. Oh, I get the Silva nod. I like that. That might have just been like a kind, like, okay, Crane, whatever you say. All right, let's talk about the Giants and the Redskins. 44.5-point total. Washington 7.5-point favorite. Evan, let's go straight to your boy Josh Doctson. Is Cousins to Doctson the play this week?
Oh, man, I think it could be. I mean, and it's really just built on the fact of how many big plays the Giants give up, mm-hmm. and the fact that the Redskins, like, if you, I mean, obviously Vernon, you know, Big Vern is he's the big play specialist for the Redskins. But if we're just looking at their wide receivers, Josh Doctson is that dude theoretically, and I mean he's made some big plays. He hasn't made like just a lot of plays in general. But he has contributed some big plays recently, and it's really just built on that. I mean, and he's playing a ton. I mean, I think he was 93% or he's 87% of the snaps last week. I think he was 93% the week before, set a season high in targets last week, set a career high in yards. You know, they want to make him happen. That is, it hasn't happened yet, but I mean, it seems like he's inching closer, and this is the kind of defense that will bust your slump.
Yeah, they are the slump buster. We'll just call him the slump buster. That's how we roll over here. Reeves,
unless you're Kareem Hunt.
Unless
all the Chiefs.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to talk about Kareem Hunt, man. Yeah, I'm not going to say that on there, but I don't like Kareem Hunt. All right, so what about you, Reeves? If you're looking at the Washington offense, is it Doctson? Is it Big Vern? Like, because this offense now, I mean, they're just so banged up without Chris Thompson. Like, we don't really know what to expect, right?
Well, Vern is the dude. I mean, so Evan brought up the Chris Thompson. So Vern actually leads the team in receiving now. He's the team leader in receiving yards. So Big Vern, we don't need to talk about the Giants and, like, how they, like, allow production to tight ends by this point. Like, everyone knows it. Listen, tomorrow you'll be eating and your grandma's going to be like, hey, man, I heard those tight ends versus the Giants. Like, you know, you better get him in. You know, so. And Big Vern's a splash play guy. Like, we talk about, you know, only Gronk and Kelsey have more receptions than 20 more yards. You watched that game last week. He only had 3 for 67, but 2 downfield shots he caught, you know, and he squeezed them. The Doctson thing is interesting because I have, like, different takes. So in this type of setting, when we're talking about this Thanksgiving slate from a DFS perspective, I do like Josh Doctson. It's elevated more than I do from a seasonal stance of who I'm going to play Josh Doctson over this receiver in my seasonal lineup. So they're two different takes I got there. I think when you watch that game from Doctson last week, there's two different things. One, Lattimore left the game after six plays, but Washington also used Doxon in a different capacity than they have in past. Up to this point in the season, you know, he had those 50-50 shots that we saw, but they ran him on wide receiver screens. He had a shallow drag coming across the field. Those are types of targets he wasn't getting. He was just being used strictly as an end zone shot play guy. So I mean, if they're going to start rounding out his usage to where he is playing more of like a feature X receiver type of role, then that makes me a lot more interested in him hitting that ceiling everyone has been chasing. You know, I do think that from an individual standpoint, as bad as the Giants have been, and as bad as, you know, Janoris Jenkins has given up plays, I still look at it and I think Janoris Jenkins is a better player than Josh Doxon at this stage of their careers. And he can still win that matchup as long as he's in the game. Now, we don't know. We've seen Janoris Jenkins check out, you know, multiple times the past few weeks. Last week he came to play and, you know, he played well. So you don't know what you're going to get. So, I mean, I like him in a setting like this because, like Evan said, we like Cousins. We want to be on Cousins. He doesn't have Chris Thompson. Doxon's been ascending, playing snaps, has the upside. So, I mean, I like him a lot more in saying this than taking, you know, saying I'm going to play Josh Doxon over a usable player in, you know, my regular season lineups. But, yeah, outside that, I mean, we have to talk about P. Ryan a little bit. Because P. Ryan on both sites is drastically different. He's 5K on DraftKings, but he's the second highest priced running back on FanDuel right behind Melvin Gordon. And when you look
I was
at
shocked Ryan, when I saw his price on FanDuel.
Well, hey, well done to FanDuel getting it up there.
So when you look at him and how he scores points and how FanDuel running backs you want to score points, he's arbitrageable on FanDuel, like for the price. When you think about how he scores and how a guy like Alfred Moore scores, how a guy like Latavius Murray scores, even a guy like Orleans Darkwell, they all score in a similar capacity and they're a lot more cheaper. So, I mean, it's hard for me to say, like, you have to play him on FanDuel, even though you would see him be conducive, him being a huge home favorite against the leaky defense. Because I think guys like Flat and Alfred Morris present, you know, opportunity to take advantage of people playing him. But on DraftKings, man, at 5K, like, it's really hard to avoid the situation he's in over there. So, I mean, he had a really horrible drop, too, in that game. So, I'm really curious to see in the overtime he had a drop. I don't think they would have got a first down anyways. But John Gruden specifically brought up that play in the postgame. They're going to have Byron Marshall active. I don't think they really trust him. He's probably going to get a lot of totes. They're going to win. I mean, he's got a 7.5-point home favorite against a bad defense.
But you know where this is all bringing us, though, right? You know where this is all bringing us?
Take us there.
Ryan Grant.
I'm here for Ryan Grant affection. For Ryan Grant affection.
So last year, I think we got Bolden at 5,100, right? We got Bolden at 5,100 on great. FanDuel and Anquan Bolden. We're getting Ryan Grant at 5,200.
So the price of the under the tall wide receivers who aren't that good is going up. Is that what you're saying?
No, Ryan Grant isn't even tall. He's not tall. He's not athletic.
I just assumed he was a big guy. I don't watch a lot of Ryan Grant run routes.
I don't blame you. He went to like Tulane, you know, like the most mediocre college football school ever. You know, he wasn't super productive really in college. Hey, the coaches love him. Like Scott McLuhan, their ex-GM, he'll like – have you ever seen this Reeves? How he like kind of rips Ryan Grant. He calls him Ryan Gruden because the coaching staff Scott McLuhan, their ex GM, always wanted to get rid of Ryan Grant and get Rashad Ross. These guys would always go at it every preseason. Rashad Ross was like a much more of like a. Rashad Ross was like much more of like a big play receiver. Mm-hmm. I think Rashad Ross is out the league right now. But he always liked Rashad Ross, and the coaching staff love Ryan Grant. And now the coaching staff is getting an opportunity to play Ryan Grant. Ryan Grant is going to line up against – I mean, we don't even know. Eli Apple was like a healthy scratch last week, I believe. We don't even know who he's going to line up against. You know, I would expect Janoris Jenkins to be on Josh Doxon. And Grant, he plays a lot of snaps at this point. No Terrell Pryor.
He plays in two wides over Crowder.
He has a bunch of red zone targets, like relative to how many targets he has on the season. He has a bunch of red zone targets. I think he has six red zone targets and, you know, not a lot of targets in general on the season. So, I think he's the Bolden. I'm going to go out and be bold and say that he's our Bolden this year.
I don't want to play Ryan Grant.
I don't either, man, but we have to pick someone.
Yeah, I'll tell you, my somebody's just going to be Dak. I'm just going to play unowned.
Okay.
Pretty so good. Just,
well, your guy's Beasley then, right? It's, I think Beasley's Dak, 55.
Dak and Beasley, that's what. Hey, that's how you attack the Chargers. You attack him in the slot. Cole Beasley, 16 points. Lock it up.
I can't wait for Beasley to have 3 catches and 2 touchdowns. It's going to be so amazing. Like it's good.
You know, and like 19 yards.
That gets it done. That gets it done. Absolutely. And poor Evan, you know the missions are going to blow up.
I do like Ryan Grant. I think a lot of people are on Ryan Grant. I do like Ryan Grant, though. Like I said, I mean, he ran 31 routes last week. He had the busted coverage touchdown. But the week before he left the game with concussion, he ran just 6 routes and was targeted on 3 of them that week before against Minnesota. Like, he's involved in the offense at this stage now that they've moved on from all these other receivers. So, I mean, I think he has more opportunity than we're probably crediting him for. Than his season-long stats suggest. Crowder's probably going to be
– I always thought people like Ryan Grant because he was a good blocker.
No, he's like a small slot type, slight dude, man.
I learn stuff every single week on this show, and that's why I love it.
Yeah, the problem is that they're starting to, like, accrue, like a bunch of redundant assets because he's more like Crowder, you know, like you said. He's like a traditional flanker. You know, Crowder's gotten hot, though, at the right time, too. 27.6% of team targets his past 3 games played after his having 15%, you know, through the season prior. The problem with Crowder, man, is he's got to find the paint. Like, he hasn't scored in 13 straight games. That's the longest streak. So maybe he's due. Maybe we just jump on it and say he's due. But he, you know, like, again, it's the same thing. Like, so my thing with the Giants is they're terrible. But when you look at it from an individual standpoint, like, those guys, like him and like DRC and Jarvis Jenkins, are good players, and they want to be. And he's going to play all game against DRC, and it's like, you know, there's opportunity to be had there, but there's also opportunity for those guys to come to play. The problem is like the Giants get no pass rush. Like Cousins is going to eat. Like it's going to be on. I mean, like the Redskins onslaught, I think, is totally in play if you want to go that route. And you know whether you want to be Doxson and Crowder, Doxson and Grant, Doxson and Byrne, you know, Piron, Cousins, however you want to play it. I think that's going to be you can wait and accrue your points late. The opposite of what Crane said, when people want to play their guys early and get the points, maybe you just hang back and you know you tortoise it up and come pull ahead at the end.
Kevin, with the Giants, obviously Sterling Shepard, he's got migraine issues right now, and I don't know. I feel like I'm supposed to lay somebody in the Giants. But what was that?
You get the robot voice.
I got the robot voice. Is it still robot voicing? Oh, no. Oh, boy. Evan, talk about the Giants real quick, will you?
Evan Engram, you know. let's talk about these wide receivers, though. Let's assume that Sterling Shepard is out because I think that the beat writers don't expect him to play. He – you know, the way this stuff goes, he probably will end up playing. But let's talk about the receivers that are left if Sterling Shepard can't play. It's
Roger Lewis week.
Roger Lewis, Tavarius King on the outside, Travis Rudolph in the slot. The way that you have beat up on the Redskins is through slot receivers. I mean, Thielen really hurt him. Doug Baldwin really hurt him. Nelson Aguilar got him twice. But I don't – Travis Rudolph, man, he hasn't really done anything. And he's gotten 3 shots to replace Sterling Shepard. He's super cheap. I mean,
he's 3K on DK. He's min.
And he's just above min on FanDuel. I remember, like, Scott Barrett of Pro Football Focus. He went to Giants camp. And, you know, like Davis Webb or something, like love Travis Rudolph or something like that. But, I don't know. I mean, he's someone that you can put in if you really just want to try to fit jam in a bunch of studs, you know. And then if he, like, scores a touchdown and gets, like, 30 yards, you're in a great, great spot. But I don't know. How are you evaluating these 3 remaining wideouts, Reeves?
Well, I think on DK, Travis Rudolph is in play because he opens up so much, and he's going to get targets. He had 6 targets on 20 routes last week. He only ran 20 routes because the Giants actually were in neutral game script for one time in the last, you know, month. I would say they have low probability of being in neutral game script this game. So I think those 20 routes are going to look more like low 30s in this game. And he got targeted 6 times in 20 routes. I mean, he could probably turn in, you know, I would say, you know, 8 targets in this game at min price on DK. If you get 8 targets for 3K,
and look at Crane. Crane can't talk, but his eyes light up. On a slate like this,
you're going to tell me if I can just get like 5 for 40 or something for 3K, and, you know, he lets me get another play I really want in, then I think he's a guy that definitely is going to be a tide lifter for the rest of your rosters that have him. The other two guys, like Lewis and King, keep trading off, you know, production. Like we talked about with the Giants side, I mean, typically, I mean, they've started to get some production, the Redskins, but I think that just Breland and Josh Norman are just an overpowering advantage here. Like, they just have such an advantage over both of these guys. And I know Roger Lewis is like the splash place guy, and he could hit one on Breland. He's going to see more often. You could chase that, definitely. And he's had more red zone targets than King. So, I mean, there's definitely a story I could tell myself on Roger Lewis. I think if I'm going to play anyone, it's going to be Rudolph, and it's probably going to be DK specific.
All right. Well, we have already basically spent this entire show talking about the Thanksgiving slate, just like we did not plan on doing. So we did. Real quick, we're going to go through the last 3 segments. We are going to fly because I don't want to keep David in the office until midnight. All right, bounce backs. Evan, here's my bounce back for this week, and Darrell Revis.
I only prepared for the Thanksgiving slate. I have a lot of work to do tonight. I will say that I really, really like T.Y. Hilton against Adoree Jackson and the Titans.
Hey, we'll just load up on that's what I'm planning on doing, actually. I like Brissett and I like T.Y. Hilton, so we'll just party there. Reeves, any thoughts on the main slate yet for you? Because I don't have any.
Yeah, man, I got a bunch. Listen,
really?
Man. Yeah, dude.
God, you're the best.
Well, my article's out. My article's out.
Yeah.
Did you just pop your collar when you said that?
No, it was just the day it's due. It's just the day it's due. Like,
my article's out.
So, I mean, no, Evan has a little more time on the shot clock left to do more work. I'm ahead of him. Listen, they put me in front of him because he gets the luxury spot, man. The king gets to put his feet on it. He gets to put his feet on the cushions. I gotta take mine off of the door, man. Like, it's so. I mean, on the main slate though, man, a lot of people have played this card already, but I have not played my card yet. This is a Julio Jones week. I have not played my Julio card one solid season. Everyone's allotted one. Most have failed. This is my Julio Jones card week. I know he's been frustrating. He's still 4th in the league in receiving yards per game. He leads all receivers and targets per route run. He has a 31.5% target market share over his past 5 games, and he's in a spot that he's typically destroyed and that we target. I mean, wide receiver ones are averaging 17.8 PPR points per game against Tampa Bay. It's the 3rd highest total in the league. 68% of the receiving yards they allow is going to wide receivers. That's number 3 in the league. And Julio has just massacred the Buccaneers in his career. 68 catches for 1,110 yards and 8 touchdowns in just 10 games. He's had 16.6 or more PPR points in 9 of those 10 games. At home, indoors, I'm playing my one. Everyone gets one this year. I'm using my This Is the Week for Julio Jones card this week.
I will go all in, man. I'll put him in on every team, man. I mean,
he's so cheap, man.
He's 4th in the NFL in receiving yards. No one wants to play him. He has the best matchup on the board. Hello.
Hi. Yeah, I get what you're saying. Man, I just hate Julio.
See, here's the difference between, like, I haven't been playing Julio Jones, so, like.
Oh, okay. By the way, I mean, I will say this for Julio. He's only had single-digit points over on DraftKings this year once all season.
See, I haven't been playing him, so I haven't, like, felt the DFS score yet.
What a life. Golly, Reeves, you're talking about the king lives the life, man. You're just over there. You don't need Evan's, like, little cushion to put his feet up on. You bought your own by fading Julio every week.
So I'm here, man. But 78 on FanDuel, man. You're going to have to get me. Like, you're going to push me off that, man. You're going to need.
I'm not going to need to push you off anywhere. You're going to willingly jump off the ledge after playing Julio.
Hey, man, I want to double down and say that Kareem Hunt is in a glorious spot, too.
No, I'm with you there, but I mean, boy, oh boy, there's everybody listening to the show right now is just beating their heads against whatever.
Just build a lineup of like all the dudes that people are pissed off at.
Yeah, I don't have that much space. I only get what, 9 roster spots?
True.
Golly, this season's just been a disaster with stuff like that. All right, guys, we got to get out of here. If you guys were expecting the main slate, sorry, just play T.Y. Hilton, play Julio, and play Kareem Hunt too. Just anybody that you've hated all season, that's who we're gonna lock. But we gotta
go read. Go read Evan's article. It'll have you covered, man.
Yeah, that's a good. Yeah, check out Evan's article. Obviously, check out Reeves' article. Two of the best in the business, and that's gonna do it for us. For Rich Rebar, for Evan Silva, I'm Eric Crane. Thank you for tuning in to the DFS Pick 6. We'll see you guys later. Peace.